That's going to happen today, and I'm excited about what's about to go on before us. We start a two-part series this week and next week called Greater Than Our Expectations. It's the idea that God has in store for us greater things than we could ever imagine. The phrase great expectations actually goes back to a Charles Dickens novel from 1860. It is the story of young Philip Pirrip, nicknamed Pip, and how he goes about making his fortune, losing his fortune, thinking he has love, losing love, and then reclaiming it at the end of the story. It's an interesting story. And if you read the story, what you'll kind of get out of it mostly is most of the fortunes and most of the good things are lost in the story, never to be gained again. The great expectations in Dickens' tale, well, they're never really realized the way they think they're going to be realized. But I want you to understand something. For those of us who are in Christ, the tale will be quite different. For those of us who are in Christ, the tale is very, very, very different from that story. Despite starting the story as a fearsome criminal, the way that Pip did in his story, Pip meets a fearsome prisoner named Abel Magwitch, and Abel is the benefactor of Pip. I just gave away the story, the spoiler, if you haven't read the book. But he turns out his benefactor can't produce the money because he gets arrested and he can't give Pip the fortune he wants to give him. He loses his fortune. And when his benefactor loses his fortune, so does Pip. But our benefactor, Almighty God, will never lose anything that he has. And he is able to do so much more than we could ever expect or imagine. Isaiah the prophet said this about the Almighty. Isaiah writes in chapter 64, verses 3 through 5, "You did awesome things that we did not expect. You came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And you come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways." Paul would write to the Ephesians church a similar reflection about the nature and the power of our God. He wrote these words, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Jesus spoke of great things when he was on the earth. He spoke of empowering the disciples to do great things. Jesus himself had done amazing things, but he once said in John 14, verses 11 through 13, these incredible words, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. But I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." If you would have God do something greater than you could ask or imagine, greater than you could ever expect, the first thing that you should do this morning that I would call you to is to seek the Lord and follow his counsel. Seek the Lord and follow his counsel. We'll look at three different stories today, but the first story we're going to look at is an Old Testament story that you probably are familiar with. It comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I love this story because it's a story of someone who has a real problem. Her husband has died, and he was a preacher, he was poor, he didn't have any money, and when he died, there was no money to take care of his wife and his children. They lived in a culture and a time where it was very hard for women to have employment in anything but prostitution. And that wasn't what this woman wanted to do at all. And so she went to the prophet Elisha, and she laid out her complaint, her lament. And said, "Well, what happens when I have a real problem that I can't meet the need? I can't take care of my children. What are we going to do? This is a real problem." I want you to get something. The Bible is filled with stories of people just like you and I who faced real problems. But when you have a challenge, this is just I'm not preaching today a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel as it's sometimes preached, but I want you to understand something. I do believe that for those of us who are in Christ, those who seek the Lord, that God desires to do good things in our lives. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be rich and wealthy. It doesn't mean we're going to be powerful. But I want you to understand something, that even when hardships come, God intends to work that hardship for our good, to do something good out of that, to bring good out of even the most horrible situations. And I've seen God do it over and over again. But there's something that we have to be willing to do here. A lot of us would say, well, I'm going to seek the Lord, and I want God to bless me and do something great in my life. But there's a second part I wrote here, and that is this phrase, follow His counsel. If you would have the blessings that God has for you, then do what God asks for you to do. James cautions us not to be people who merely listen to the word and then forget it as soon as it's gone, but we shouldn't be just hearers, but doers. Put it into action. Be a doer of what we hear and what we read. Well, this is the story. It says, the wife of a man of the country, of the company of the prophets, cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two sons as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she says, "Your servant has nothing there at all, except for a little oil." So Elisha said, "Go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." So she left him, and afterwards she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Did you catch the miracle of the story? She only had a little oil, but she begins to pour it into the jars, as many as she could collect, and as long as she's pouring, the oil continues to manifest itself and to be present. The blessing that God had for her was only limited by what one thing? The number of empty vessels that she was able to find. That's all that limited what was before her. And so it says that she kept pouring, and when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." And he replied, "There is not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Now go and sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Isn't that an incredible story? I love that story. It's a neat story of the Bible, a story where God provided an incredible blessing, and there was a call for emptiness so that it could be filled. Bring me as much empty as you can have. Now, I get that one of the things that's hard for some of us as we think like about moving into the multiple service thing, you look around and say, well, there's some empty seats here. And there are, although God keeps filling them up faster than we can empty them. And so one of the ideas we have is let's have some more empty seats. And I got to tell you, on October 11th, I have a sense that there'll be empty seats. You'll have that feeling. But my great expectation is that they won't stay empty, but that God will quickly fill them. And you'll be a part of that. For each person that you go out and that you bring in is like this woman's empty jar or empty vessel. You bring people in to be filled with the goodness that God has for them. And I want you to understand that God does have good things in store for His people. Greater things than we could ever imagine. Now there's a second thing I would call you to do, and that is when God responds to your need, give public praise. Don't keep it a secret, but be willing to share what God's doing in the story. There's a second story I want to tell you about. It's the story of Acts chapter 3, and it's the story of Peter and John. You know this story when you're a little kid. Remember this? Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on their way. He held out his palm and asked for alms. And this is what Peter did say, "Silver and gold have I none." Remember the story? Come on, no one needs to even sing with me. Come on. That's the story. Peter and John. Here's one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And you thought that 3 in the afternoon was football time, some of y'all. It's a time of prayer, but if the Colts are playing this season, we're going to be praying a lot. But that's another story. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every single day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He held out his palm. He had an expectation. He wanted something from God, from these men of God, and he was hoping it was a silver coin. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. By the way, I think that when you come to church, you should expect to get something from God there. A word from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. We come with hearts that are expectant that God is doing something. When you pray, I hope you pray with expectancy. You expect that God is going to move. He may not answer the way you want Him to answer, but you expect God will do something. I mean, one of the things I think that makes me still a good preacher at 49 years of age is I've not lost track of my childhood faith. This is what happens to too many. We become pessimistic and jaded, and because God doesn't answer a situation the way we want Him to, we just kind of give up and say, well, maybe God can't do that. You need to understand something, you're a preacher. I still kind of believe God does incredible things and miracles, and I pray expectantly. When I pray for someone to get well, I expect them to get well. When I pray for a person who's got a marriage that's in trouble, for the marriage to be healed, I have an expectation that the marriage is going to be healed. Now, things don't always turn out according to my expectations, but I pray expectantly. This man has an expectation. His expectation, though, is nothing of God at the moment. It's just the world. I just want to get money. And God's going to put a twist, and He's not going to give him what he wants. He's going to give him the thing that he needs more than anything. Listen to what happens in the story. It says, "Silver or gold, Peter says, I do not have, but what I have I give you, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter has an expectation here. Beggar man, cripple man, get up and walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting as a beggar at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Skyler, it's time. So several months ago, you walked into this sanctuary, and there was a card that was seated on the like today, kind of, a card that was on the chairs as you came in. And as you walked in that morning, I preached a sermon, and I talked about during the sermon that at the end you were going to have a chance to respond, and you could put a prayer concern or a need that you had on that card, and you could lay it in a basket at the front. And about 100, 120 people or so came forward and responded that morning to that invitation to lay down a burden. Remember that kind of a talk we talked about that day? On that day, my friend Skyler was here, and I don't know if you were expecting God to do something incredible or not, but he sure did, didn't he? Skyler, tell him your story.
This can be hard for me to get through this, so bear with me. 32 years ago, my dad was fired from his job. He was 53 years old at the time. This was earth-shattering for our family. At that time, people retired at 57. So who would want to hire somebody who could retire in 3 years? My dad was out of work for 2 years. Times were tough. The man who fired my dad was friends with my best friend's dad at the time. The more I heard about this man, the more I was angered. I went to school with this man's son, so it was a constant reminder every day of the hardness. 30 years later, I got baptized and started to pray about things like I'd never done in my life. In February of this year, I went to the Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky. As I walked into the show, I got that burning in my gut as I saw the man who had fired my dad all those years ago. I thought to myself, I'm a Christian now. It's time to pray about this. So on that day, I started praying. About a month later, I came into church and sat down and did what I do every week and looked around to see who was here in my church family. As I did so, someone caught my eye. It looked like that very man that I'd been praying about. So I looked again, and it was him. As I sat there and listened to Marty's sermon about forgiveness and going to the next level as a Christian, I realized I'd been called by God to forgive this man. That week, we'd been given a paper to fill out, and if we wished, we could put that paper in a basket on the stage. As I walked up to put my paper in the basket and returned to my seat, I noticed this man had stepped out into the aisle. I knew it was my time to talk to him and let him know that I'd forgiven him. When I went back to talk to him, I said, "Have you ever been to this church before?" He said, "I've been here 2 times. Been here once years ago, and I came here today." He said, I was driving down the road with my wife, and I said, "We've got to stop here. This is where I need to be." As I talked to him, tears ran down his face. And he told me that he'd been holding this in for 30 years. This, my friend, is God's grace. Last weekend, my wife and I went to see the movie War Room. As we walked out into the lobby of the theater, who did we run into? This man's son. And I was reminded once again, God is great, and we may not know why at the time, but there is a plan, and it may not be on our time. But if we let him lead, we will experience God's grace.
Amen. Thanks, God. Greater than expected. When Skylar came to church that day, there was no way of knowing it was the day he was going to confront the person that brought so much pain into his life, that he blamed for that pain for so many years. But when they finally had the chance to come together and talk about it, through an incredible circumstance, because the man was just driving past and said, "Hey, we got to go to that church today," God does things greater than we expect. Amen?
Amen.
And he arranged for a healing that was 30 years in the making. I love that about God. When I tell you that God doesn't give up on us, he doesn't. And when God does something incredible, just like that man in the story, he didn't hesitate to give God the praise for what God was doing. Now, I've been sitting on that story for weeks, partly at first because Skylar couldn't tell without just breaking to pieces. In part, I'm sorry, Sky, it's just the truth. He's a tender guy. And he kept talking about this thing God did, and so I knew we were going to have to put some distance between the event and him talking about it to share his story. But God didn't just heal that man, right? He healed Skylar. He healed a lot of things when he did that. God does that. And Skylar was like the man in this story with Peter and John. That man didn't hesitate to give God the praise. And the day it happened, Skylar and I started talking about it. Well, it wasn't quite that day. You called me that day, if you recall, and we talked about football or something, and then we didn't talk about the thing because you weren't ready to talk yet. It was hard. Then about a week later, we talked again. And then the third time we talked, it was clear he needed to tell me something, and he finally got to it. We finally started talking about it. Skylar didn't hesitate to give God the praise for what God had done. When you get something greater than expected, share it. Talk to people about it. Tell people what God is doing. It's an important part of God's working in the world. When God does something incredible, it's not just for us. It's also for others. I want you to understand something. God is doing something incredible in our midst right now. Right now. There are interesting things happening around about you as a congregation of people. There are people that are contacting us at the church, contacting me and saying, "Marty, how is it that 300 people plus make their way out to Ogleville, Indiana every Sunday? What's out there? What caused it? Is there a brand new restaurant next to your church? No. You know, are you surrounded by brand new housing additions? Well, not really, no. We're still kind of out there. Is it that you're a great preacher? Well, no, that's not it. Is it something else? I said, you know, we're a bunch of, I'm sorry, this is the label I put on, we're a bunch of ordinary people. But God is doing something extraordinary in our midst. He's doing something extraordinary in our midst. And it's not wrong for us to share that and say, God is doing something that, man, I mean, I Sorenkamp, I love something about Greg. When Greg talks about our church, he's like, man, our church is on fire. God is doing this incredible thing. I mean, you'd think he's like Dick Vitale of church attendance or something. It's incredible. When God's doing something incredible, don't be afraid to share. God's blessing us in an incredible way. And that's worth sharing and being about. Indeed, there's a third thing about sharing that I want us to understand, and that is the Bible says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And when we talk about God wanting to do something incredible in our lives, it's not just our lives, right? It's in everyone's life God wants to work and do great things. That's His plan for every person. For every person. Everyone should enjoy the blessed life that's available through Christ. So the third thing I want to say is be ready to share with others how they can experience life's true greatest blessing, a relationship with Jesus Christ. The third story that I want us to just think about as we kind of wrap up our time together is the story of Philip and the man on his way to Ethiopia. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 8. And it says that there was a man that was sitting there reading the Bible or the scriptures of the Old Testament scriptures, and he didn't really understand what he was reading. It says the man, pick up the story, says he started out on his way. Philip started on his way and he met an Ethiopian eunuch. This man was an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked him. The man said, well, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, I have a sense that when the man opened the scriptures that day, his expectation was, he already believed in God. His expectation was, I'm going to gain a new insight, or I'm going to gain a new understanding. But he was reading this passage in Isaiah about a lamb on its way to be slaughtered, a reference to Jesus. And this man, because he's from another country, has never heard about Jesus. He has no idea, so in his mind he can't imagine, what's this metaphor about? What's this trying to say, this lamb being slaughtered? So he's expecting something to happen from the text, understanding, but he feels confused. That happens sometimes when we open God's Word. We don't always have an answer. Sometimes we do need to have someone else come alongside of us and give us insight and discernment into the text. And that's what happened in this story. But God provided that man with more than he could have ever expected. He didn't just provide him with Philip, a man who knew all about Jesus as a close personal friend. He also gave him the one who would give him the true words of life so that he could take the next step in his journey of faith. He already believed in God, but now it's time for him to be immersed and to give his life to Jesus. And so as he's reading, Philip says in the text, the man asked Philip, tell me please, who's the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. God had done something greater than he could have ever expected. If you're a Christian, I want you to understand something. God is not finished. The work of your life is not a finished work. The work of salvation is finished. But the work that God wants to do in you and through you is ongoing all the way to the grave. God has something of value that you will accomplish with your life. He gives you what you need to do that. He gives you a purpose, a hope, and He gives you His blessings on top of that. Perhaps the blessing enough for some of us is to know we're forgiven for our worst mistakes. And that empowers us to do great things. If you're not in Christ today and you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to make this the moment. Seize the opportunity. God does want to do something incredible in you, through you, with you in your life. But it starts by humbly doing what the eunuch did. Saying, you know what? I need to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I need to be faithful in Christian baptism, to be buried with Christ, so that I might rise to live with Christ, and so I might die to be with Christ forever. If you have a decision to make for Jesus, would you make as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation?